Welcome to the Black Alert Podcast, your melanated reference for all things Star Trek across all four quadrants. I'm Raina, and today I have Travis. What's up, Travis?
Hey.
And we're here to discuss Star Trek Lower Decks, episodes 5 and 6 of season 2. First episode is An Embarrassment of Duplers. What'd you think about this?
I love this episode.
Me too.
This episode made me so happy.
It was great. So here's a, I just want to give a brief summary of the episode. It's Mariner and Boimler try to track down the location of a legendary Starfleet party while the bridge deals with an insecure alien diplomat. Yeah, that gives it everything.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this was like Lower Decks boiled down to its essence. Like it was just exactly what Lower Decks is.
Exactly. It was funny all around. Definitely, you know, all the Easter eggs are there. We're digging deeper into Mariner's background, which I hope at the end of all of this we get a summation of, or you know, a little bit more of her legendary history, because she's a legend at this point, even though she's in Lower Decks, she's a legend. Yeah. She's been everywhere, but I hope that it culminates to a point that we get some more reveals and it's like a ooh moment, you know?
Yeah, because she kind of has like a sad background, I think. Like there's definitely some real tragedy in her background. Like she just has this whole abandonment issue that it's not consistent with the, you know, devil may care character that she puts out.
Exactly.
And yeah, it just gives her some subtext that I really want to see them explore.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, ever since Boimler came back to the Cerritos, she's kind of thrown it at him like, oh, you've left me, you know, right. Like, and it's, and even in this episode, we'll get to it, but you know, she keeps throwing it at him in his face. And I wonder if she's just projecting or she really is like very upset that he, like her best friend, her BFF, left her. I mean, it wasn't that long, but it was enough that, you know, it caused some wounds.
Yeah.
So,
it's one of those things, though. I think Star Trek has a history of like their Starfleet brats, you know, having some psychological damage. Well, you know, like look at like Wesley. you know who else?
Jake.
I mean, he had to not even join Starfleet. He couldn't even join Starfleet because it wasn't for him. And thank goodness, Ben is so well balanced that he just let him go.
It's like, don't worry about it. It's
okay. Exactly. Mariner, though, I mean, I think there's something about moving around in Starfleet and just how, you know, disposable Starfleet personnel are that has given her some serious abandonment issues.
Absolutely. So, we open up the episode with the officers having dinner with this alien diplomat or emissary. And I call it the Dupler duty, which was hilarious. The Dupler emissary, who is voiced by Richard Kind, seems to be very anxious. And the rest of the, you know, Captain Freeman and the officers are definitely tiptoeing around him. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get this whole, you know, plot one, plot A, and then we've got plot B. Actually, there's three plots. We've got the Dupler problem. We've got Mariner and Boimler trying to get to this party, which we'll talk about even more because it's great adventures. And then we've got Tendi and Rutherford and their shipbuilding, which you're very good at.
They're such nerds. I love them.
I love them. So if you so what did you think about this plot A, the Dupler?
Well, the Dupler plot was a lot of fun. It was a real comedic spin on your standard Star Trek diplomat story, because they always have diplomats on Starfleet ships, and they're always, either really arrogant or, completely incompetent. It's diplomats on Star Trek don't have the best reputation, and I always find it a little funny, because I have friends who are diplomats, who are members of the diplomatic corps, and they're fairly competent people. They're good at their jobs, but Star Trek does not seem to ever have diplomats outside of Starfleet personnel who are double dutying as diplomats, like Jean-Luc, who are any good at it.
Oh yeah, I mean, they're all snooty.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh, they're on the ship, but you got this guy, and he's got some anxiety issues, and but the main objective is to get to this grand Starfleet party, and things go not according to plan.
Also, it's kind of fun to hear them talk about a Starfleet party that the captain doesn't want to avoid. Because I know there are a lot of Next Gen episodes where, Picard is invited to some Starfleet commander's party. And that's the entire plot of Starship Mine, right? Like, he doesn't want to go to that party. Exactly.
All right, fine.
Exactly. And then he goes to get his saddle and ends up, being part of a hostage situation.
But no, Captain Freeman is determined to get to this party. She's like, look, no one can stop me. Oh, wait, this guy duplicating all over my ship will do that.
And I love the way she owns that she's a hero.
We'll talk about that later, because I have issues with the show for this.
Okay.
I feel like she's due her respect. Well, she says I'm due for respect. So we'll talk about that.
Okay.
So mind you, this emissary is now duplicated all over the ship. And Boimler and Mariner decide this is a good time to get out of grunt work. Let's go to this party.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Mariner take us?
To the starbase where she grew up.
We find that out another place, and I love the sarcasm that Boimler, under his breath says. He's like, "Oh yeah, of course you have. Like, you've been here before."
Right, because she's got to be like 50. I mean, she's been everywhere.
Well, she's damn well good for 50. Mm-hmm. She's got no grays. She's doing pretty well for herself.
Yeah,
minus being an NC. I mean, look, we already know that her being in the top brass is not something for her. She wants the adventure. She wants to be out and have fun and kind of like no responsibilities, really.
Yeah, because if she wanted to be a captain, she would probably be a captain.
She would be an admiral at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, she's done her time. She's been on ships. She's done the time.
Because I think based on the time frame, she would have served on Deep Space Nine and during the Dominion War.
Yeah.
Like, she's a veteran.
Been battle. Yeah. She's been through it.
Yeah.
So she's seen it all. She knows, we talked about it before, she's been on several ships. She's, been through all the grunt work. She's seen all, all this happening in Starfleet, and yet, she's an ensign. So she's definitely got a lot of under her belt. So we get to Starbase 25, which looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's got all these awesome shops. It's got a casino, a barbershop.
Right?
What?
Right?
What? A barbershop? Love it. Apparently it has an aviary, which that was probably like the funniest thing I saw. It's like they crash into the aviary and the couple, the birds are like, yeah, move to the aviary, you said.
I was like, oh, that was God. The thing I liked about them. That was a shout out to the animated series.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that so much.
It was so good. And then of course you had, what else did we have? We had Quark's Bar again, so we definitely know that it is a franchise.
Yep.
The Lucky Ferengi, which is a cool name for a spot.
Yeah.
And then we have Malvis's goods, and we meet Malvis.
Right.
Who apparently has some history with our girl Mariner.
Yeah, it looks like dude traffics in stolen goods.
Commander Dato Bubba Bass? Or Klingon disruptors.
I'm really trying to get that bubble bath.
I want it. I want it badly.
Especially I
want
to
get it. Even if I don't use it. Like, I just want, like,
I'll be happy if I get a lore bottle.
Container.
You know?
It's hysterical.
I love the random lore with a grin.
It's like, no one used this. This is exclusive.
Yes.
And so they get into some trouble. You know, they're dodging the police on the starbase, and
Brothers style car chase.
It's hysterical.
Come on.
Hysterical.
That was amazing.
Hilarious. And I think my favorite part of that was when they were, you know, dodging, you know, the police, and they're trying to find a way out, and like they run into all these vendors, and Boimler says, something about, oh, it's the fish people. It was like, we're not people. Like,
yes.
Like, don't mislabel us. How dare you?
They are fish. They're not people.
Fish. We're not people. I just love the little jokes and the, you know, it feels very real, you know. Yeah. It's like, it's just easy comedy. Like, yeah. it flows very well.
And Jack Quaid might be the best screamer on TV these days. I mean,
hilarious.
His screams are amazing.
and Boimler's reactions crack me up, because he is absolutely terrified, but he is along for the ride. And
that's
at first he's like questioning it. He's like, I don't know if we should do that, but he's like, you know what, why not, let's go.
Yeah.
And so I think
he learned
dynamic.
Something on the Titan.
Yeah, I like that dynamic. You got to live. You got to put your foot first. Enjoy yourself. You know, you've only got one life. I mean, he's got a clone, but whatever.
Right.
You know, like, he can do it. But he's definitely coming into his own. You know, before he was very uptight, very, you know, very by the book. Everything was by the book. And now he's kind of like letting himself go just a little bit. He's like,
and we'll really get into that in the next episode.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what else did you enjoy about the episode? So we had plot A, we discussed. Plot B, we've talked about. And we got a little bit more of Tendi and Rutherford, which was very cute.
Yeah. I ship them really hard. Like, exactly. I like that they're friends, but I really want them to be
together. They're adorable. Yes. They're so cute. They're sitting there just trying to put together the little ship.
Like, they remind me of people who would be the parents of a really exciting character later on, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, they're not like they're not the exciting characters, but they would be the Starfleet couple who have kids who are just like, you know, the future captain of Starship.
Absolutely. So Boimler and Mariner try to get to this party, and we learn that it's an exclusive party, Luna class or above. That's saying something.
So that means Riker's baseline at this party.
Exactly.
Like, he's not even special.
Like, he's not getting in. This is VIPs.
Exactly.
Only. Watch out. But who do we see? Captain Shelby.
We see Captain Shelby. I was so excited. I really wish we'd gotten some dialogue.
Because wasn't
Captain
she
Shelby.
A lieutenant commander?
She was.
On TNG? Okay. Played by Elizabeth Dennehy. We also find out that Okona, Thaddeum Okona from TNG season 2 episode 4, is a DJ.
Which makes sense. Which makes a lot of sense.
But I love the joke later is that, you know, when Captain Freeman and them were denied access to the party, she's like, he's not even Starfleet.
I like when dude's like, that's outrageous.
How dare you get in here?
Of course, that being a joke about the outrageous Okona. So I was like, ah, pun.
Exactly. Good stuff.
But here's the thing about Okona. Do we think the eye patch is real?
Because
I feel like he's the kind of guy who would put on a fake
eye patch. Put on a show. absolutely. Yeah. It goes with his persona, this whole, he kind of reminds me of a Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
Very dramatic.
Yes.
He's definitely got to put it, you know, put in a show. He's got to do the role as best as he can. And yeah, it gives him a little swag. He's like, yeah, I lost an eye.
Right. You know, now that you call him Captain Jack Sparrow, though, I kind of want there to be an episode or two of Lower Decks where they have to be his crew. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That'd be such a mess. Oh, yeah. My God. Write that down. Write that down.
that'd be good. Dear Mike McMahon.
Exactly.
I'm pitching this story to you.
It's like, if you'd be in season 3, you know.
Exactly.
Whatever you want. So we learn again, as we mentioned before, Mariner and her abandonment issues. She confronts Boimler about this at the bar.
Yeah.
Which is really awesome. You know, she kind of lets her hair down. She finally opens up a bit. Mm-hmm. She kind of reminds me of me. I tend to keep a lot of my emotions to myself,
mm-hmm.
And then I explode. And it's like, it all comes out and it projects. But yeah, you definitely can tell that she loves being, loves having Boimler around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her best friend, you know? And
absolutely.
She felt kind of betrayed when he went, away. And, you know, that kind of like, it hit me for a moment. I was like, damn, that sounds like something I would do. But I don't want it to be, you know, it's not all about herself. You know, she's kind of all about herself. But in reality, I think she has a lot of, you know, baggage that we need to explore some more. For sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that bar.
Love the bar.
Oh.
Apparently, it's pretty old since.
Yeah.
Some other folks stopped by.
Mr. Kirk, Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock. And they carved their names into the bar.
Into the bar. Also, the bartender was voiced by the incomparable Jennifer Lewis.
Yes.
I knew it as soon as she spoke.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, she's a voice actress on Star Trek. Holy shit.
Every time I see her, you know what I think of?
What do you think of?
Star Tours. Because she's the guide who gets the flight attendant who boards everybody, which blows my
mind.
She
has a perfect voice for it.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, it blew my kid's mind when I'm like, you know, that old lady from The Princess and the Frog? Yeah, she's on Star Tours.
And Blackish, definitely. But that was cool, you know. And she, you know, the bartender's telling her story, like, yeah, you know, back in the day, such and such were here. And you know, it was,
I wonder,
really
how
cool.
Old she was supposed to be. Like, do you think
she's been around?
Yeah.
She's got stories.
Is she like the Maz from Star Wars of Star Trek? I think that I hope they come back to Starbase 25.
That'd be nice.
I would really like to see some more of this.
Actually,
yeah.
She should be the bartender on the Cerritos and replace other homie.
Yes. Yes.
Because he wasn't doing his job too well.
He was not doing his job.
So yeah, the Captain Freeman and crew are not allowed to go to the party. And she goes through this whole, you know, spiel about, I deserve more respect. And she starts like listing all of her, you know, accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dang, she's done some pretty decent things. And yet she's the captain of the Cerritos. It's like,
yeah,
it's like, I don't like
why?
That.
I think we need to start asking questions as to why.
Like,
what has she done?
How did she get stuck on this low class ship?
Yeah.
And with this ragtag crew,
mm-hmm.
and she's like dying to, you know, go up the ladder some more. And it's just like, she's getting blocked at every turn.
Yeah.
I need to know.
Yeah. There's gotta be a thing going on. There's gotta be something going on that she's trying to overcome. Did she used to have a reputation like her daughter? Maybe.
I mean, she is wild. She was doing that thing.
Yeah. And maybe she's trying to overcome, and that's why she doesn't want Beckett to go through the same thing.
Or she allowed her husband to go up the ladder.
Yeah.
Because he's an admiral.
He is. I know a lot of women who've, you know, put their own careers aside so their husbands can go to law school or whatever.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was the case. Yeah, we need some background on the couples and then the Freeman family.
Yeah.
We need that. Yeah. Definitely, not only for that, but definitely, you know, we need to know about the abandonment issues. We need to get some more info. They're just funny. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Need some more on, I love Shax. Shax cracks me up.
Yeah.
Like dealing with the duplicates on the ship. He's like, Captain, they've got me. It's over. Like, come on, man. He's a mess.
He really is. Definitely my second favorite Starfleet security officer.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious. So we end up, you know, everybody ends up at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drinking.
As you do.
And just having a good time. Tendi gives Rutherford a new ship model. Mm-hmm. DS9.
DS9, yep.
With Ezri and Jadzia. Exclusive. Exclusive edition.
That's right.
You get both decks.
And Beckett would know both of them.
Look at that. Becky.
Becky. Yeah, Becky. That's right.
Becky. Becky probably knows both. Uh-huh. And that's crazy. Yeah, we need more. We need more.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've got the Picard jokes. And, you know, Mariner has the Picard accent. Number one. And what would Boimler look like with a beard?
A big purple beard?
Exactly. Absolutely.
You know, though, that whole sequence I loved. Because I loved the way they animated it. I love the voice acting of her mother, like kind of standing over her as she and her best friend, you know, kind of plot their future.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think that that's something that she's used to getting from Beckett. Like, I don't like that. I don't think I think that might be the first time we've ever seen her talk about her future. Right? Because usually she's like living in the moment, the whole thing.
But running in that little doing whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In that sequence, she was talking about, you know, not just having a future, but having a future where she achieves something. And you could see the pride on her mother's face.
Also, I think to have genuine friendship. Sorry, I didn't mean to catch you off.
No, you're right.
Genuine friendship.
Yeah. It's not something that she's probably used to seeing her have.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Like Boimler and crew are probably the first group of people that she's become really tight with.
Exactly.
Or at least the first in a long time, because I'm
she's guessing probably got a lot of history.
Yeah. I mean, that's where her abandonment issues come from, right? Like she got close to people and then they all went away.
All went away, or she had to leave.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I really did enjoy that. That was definitely a nice little sentimental moment.
Yep.
Anything else from this episode you enjoyed or want to bring up?
No, you know, Richard Kind being cast in this episode was perfect. You know, who else would you get for this role? You know, like he is that guy. The Starbase 25, there seems to be a lot of history there, and I'm hoping the ship goes back. And this episode was, you know, it's why I like the show. It really was.
Yeah. It's a nice balance of Star Trek seriousness,
mm-hmm.
you know, Easter eggs, goodies for you to like pick out,
mm-hmm.
To speculate. And then you've got the humor and the sentimental and you know, all the good stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nice little fluff, you know.
A great show. Great episode.
So let's segue to episode 6. The Spy Humongous, another hysterical episode. I can't.
Captain Janeway.
I died. I was like, oh my god, here we go.
Well, I mean, first when Riker shows up, it's like, it's the Enterprise. It's
like, no, wrong person.
Yeah.
wrong ship. Not right.
I wonder when the Pakalids would have met Janeway.
Mm.
You know?
Interesting.
Because they're not in Voyager.
Do we have any idea where the Pakalid planet is?
Right, the Pakalid planet. We call it the Pakalid planet.
It's like, okay, simple. Got makes it. Sense. Cool. Makes sense.
But yeah, we have no idea where it is. Yeah. Yeah. Why do they know Janeway so well?
Janeway probably visited him. She was like, I gotta get the hell out of here.
Yeah. She did not have time for that.
She was like, nah, I'm good. Thanks.
I have just watched all 7 years of Janeway and I feel like I know her now. And
that's your bestie. We're
like this. But yeah, she would not have time for that.
Not at all. No. So the caption for this episode is Anomaly Consolidation Day on the USS Cerritos leaves the lower deckers with mixed emotions. Captain Freeman attempts to negotiate peace on the Pakalid homeworld. That's a lot to unpack.
What amazes me is that the show always has three plots in a 24-minute show. There are always three plots.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And like each one gets really good shine, you know?
Every one of them. It's amazing.
So, plot A, which obviously is Anomaly Consolidation Day, or ACD. Ugh, we don't want to do that.
Garbage duty. But when you see it, it seems like it would be so awesome.
It would look... It looks great until you start dropping things and turning into things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently Mariner knows I don't want to do that. Even Rutherford was like, nah, I don't know.
And he'll do anything.
But Tenney was like, yeah, let me sign up the crew to do it. Of course, she didn't tell them, you know.
Right.
Like, really, I've been betrayed by my own friend. You signed us up for this? Really?
Yeah, Devonna we need to have words with her. And I'm still loving that name.
Devonna. Yes. Devonna.
That sounds like an Orion.
Like her and the doctor have like this awesome name. Anna, Devonna.
Right?
Devonna.
You know, I've got my daughter Liliana. Like all these Annas are that's like my life now.
There you go. And then we've got a peace accord meeting on Pakalid planet.
I would love to know how the Pakalids made it into space.
How they make it? I don't know how they made it.
How they make it out of bed? Really?
Because but they're not too bright.
Yeah, because that's always the thing with me with sci-fi stories. You know, like we're always looking at them as a snapshot of right now. You know, this is how they are when we meet them. But what were they like before this? You know,
like, were they actually intelligent beings?
Yeah.
They like went backwards or what happened? Or is this the start? Is this the beginning?
Right.
For them? Is this their like amoeba moment?
Right. And they're one day just going to be like space gods.
Imagine. Ceasefire. What could go wrong? Everything.
Yeah.
I love that they joked about it being a Picard level peace brokering. Like, yeah, if we're gonna be on a diplomatic mission to garner peace. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, they are really trying to get off of that ship. The bridge crew is really trying to get off of that ship. And I'm starting to feel for the rest of the crew that they're like stuck with them.
Yeah. 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 And then you've got this so-called spy. He's like, where is your warp core? I need to see your warp core. Dude, what? Oh, I love that they had a merchandise shop, though.
Yes. Yes.
I need a hat.
That needs to be a table at a con. There really needs to be a Cerritos merchandise store.
I need a hat, or I need like a visor so I can put like my fro through it. And I need a shirt.
Yeah.
It looks really cool. I hope they put those out on the website. Cough, cough. we've got the crew, you know, Anomaly Consolidation, ACD Day, and they hop into a few quarters. What do we find?
Oh my gosh. We like cubes that transform them into giant things, you know, things that turn them into scorpions. Rutherford hulked out at some point.
That was hysterical. It's like, and you know, and it's funny because we've talked about it before that Mariner's, you know, she's been a while, you know, been around a while.
Uh-huh.
She knew exactly the remedy for when Rutherford blew up. Like, she's like, put some red stuff on his nose. What? How do you know that? It's like, oh, she's been around. See,
This is not her first.
This is not her first. No, it's not.
No,
not at all. Ransom's quarters had way too much stuff going on. Dr. Ta'ana had way too much going on in her quarters.
I feel like I expected Ransom's quarters to be a little freakier.
Like, what kind of freak?
You know, I watch Rick and Morty. And Ransom comes across as a Rick and Morty character sometimes. I expected a little more, something a bit more risque in Ransom's quarters. So
you're right.
It was Starfleet tame.
They were like, let's not go there.
Exactly.
No, but we did find quite a few things that Mariner seemed to get the brunt of. You know, she got electrocuted. She's got swarmed by some like gelatinous stuff on the ceiling.
You know, it's funny because like in cartoons, you know, she would be the Bugs Bunny of this crew, right? So it's kind of weird to see her taking the abuse because that's usually
she went from Bugs Bunny to Roger Rabbit.
Yes, because usually that's like the Daffy Duck role. You know, that's for the Boimler. But he's off doing his own thing.
I mean, rude, hanging out with the Red Shirts Exclusive Club.
They've now changed Red Shirts from being, you know, disposable crew members to being snobs.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
But we all know what's going to happen with this trope.
Oh. They're finished.
But I love that it wasn't like death. But you know, we're gonna make you into the you're a peon,
right?
like
how dare you?
How dare you? But I love how you know Boimler gets a makeover. He's got these muscles,
right?
He's got a haircut, and you know, learns how to inspire the crew. You know.
Well, the thing is, he didn't learn, right? Like he did that. That was him. And exactly. I love that. That's like that's in him now.
He just needed a little push.
Yeah.
And I love that because he's definitely evolving into a more confident character.
Mm-hmm.
His star.
Yeah. The last episode, when at the end, when you know they were arguing over who's going to be captain and who's going to be number one, I started to what I now call career ship. I really want to see them together as captain and first officer of a ship.
Now, would you prefer that Boimler be captain or vice or the other
one? I would like get Boimler to be captain one day, but okay. I feel like Mariner, you know, she's been around the block too many times.
Yeah, I think that should go to her. She would definitely cause a lot of ruckus in Starfleet.
Yeah.
Command would be called. What are you doing?
Yeah, like, but there's a reason that their names were next to Kirk and Spock, right? Because I feel like they would Kirk it up.
Absolutely, get themselves in a whole lot of trouble and fix some trouble, you know,
and make huge names for themselves along the way.
Exactly. Looks promising future.
Because the name Beckett Mariner is a good captain name, I think.
Exactly.
You know?
It's like Mariner, Marine, Water, yeah, Ship, yeah. Captain. Yeah.
Beckett.
And then
Mariner.
Beckett. Hmm. Let's dig into that one. Why would Becky? Oh, gosh, that nickname cracks me up. It's like, really? He calls you Becky? What? Okay. Back to episode 6.
Right.
So we've got the spy. Mm-hmm. I love the joke, the Tal Shiar joke.
Yes.
That was great. Definitely not.
Definitely not the Tal Shiar, no.
Definitely not the Tal Shiar. But he seems to slip away. And Ransom was it Kayshawn? Yes, Kayshawn.
Yeah.
Kayshawn, I love that guy. He's funny. He seems to slip by them. And...
You know, I love that it's interesting to me that entire species is coded black. Like, every actor who's played one of them has been black.
Okay.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Paul Winfield, and now the actor who's playing him now, you know, they're all
interesting
black actors.
You know? And I love that, you know, their language is kind of like Ebonics or AAVE.
Right?
You know, it's a different type of communication. Like, they understand it, and if you've come into the culture, you understand.
Right.
But because if you don't
Ransom,
know them,
Ransom, no, he spoke his own language basically to Ransom.
Yeah.
And Ransom got
like,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Ransom's
him.
Down. Yeah.
He was invited to the cookout. Oh, I cannot imagine Ransom at no cookout. No.
No.
Can't do that.
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's a part where the red shirts, the leader, I forget his name, unfortunately, at this current time, he mentions to Boimler, actually kind of criticizes Boimler for still wanting to hang out with the crew, his regular crew. And he's like, well, if you want to be a captain, you've got to, you know, hang out with the right people. And he's like, we work in Starfleet. They work in Starfleet. And I found that to be interesting. And I didn't really at before, like the first time I heard it, I said, okay. And the second time I said, oh, wait a minute. It's like, I get it. You're, you know, if we work in Starfleet, that's kind of like a you're degrading those who actually make everything else run.
Yeah.
You look down upon, and that separation there. Definitely, I think that's one of the moments where Boimler was like, nah, I don't like these folks.
It reminded me of, you know, of an O'Brien moment, right? Like O'Brien, like talking about being like working for a living.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with, you know, doing the grunt work? What's wrong with not, you know, we make the ship run. Everybody, this is a collective to get a job done. And they're all about the red shirts, or at least the crew on the ship, on the Cerritos, are all about the attention, the shine, the power, versus actually representing what Starfleet is, which is everyone coming together from all over to make a better, you know, a better society, make a better federation and galaxy, you know? So they're more about the celebrity versus the ideals of Starfleet.
Yeah. I kind of saw some fandom commentary.
Oh.
In there. Because it kind of reminded me of some of the folks that you'll see online, you know, I've been watching Star Trek since, you know, the original series, and I like, you know, my view of Star Trek is better than yours because you've only been watching it since Discovery.
The seniority card.
Exactly. And it's like, no, we're all fans. You know, if you're into Star Trek, we're all fans.
No matter where you start.
Exactly. We're all into Star Trek. And I often identify with Boimler, and that was another moment where I feel like, you know, you looking at it that way, I was like, yeah, I'm a Boimler.
Yeah, I'm definitely a Boimler. I'm definitely out. I love everything about Starfleet, you know, and I respect it. And he's very much, he respects not only the ideals, but the people in it.
Yep.
And it, who uphold it.
Yeah.
So definitely the, being with the red shirts wasn't going to work for him. And, you know, we definitely see more, some more command from him in this episode. Mm-hmm. Tendi, unfortunately, got a hold of a special box and a taxi and move shifter cube. And turned into this ugly scorpion.
Yeah.
And she was causing havoc on the ship. And boom, Wormler, you know, with his you know, he's a genius. I mean, we're gonna put that out there. He goes into action and he starts using the replicators, which was hilarious. The pun, I love it.
Because what I liked about it was, you know, two things. One was, you know, basically, again, playing up that they're cartoons and just destroying himself.
Oh my gosh.
To get a laugh, just destroying himself. But also, you know, he didn't have pride. It wasn't about, you know, himself. It wasn't about, you know, the self-aggrandizement. It was about his friend, and it was about the ship and his crewmates.
Exactly.
You know,
you put the care and the safety of the crew and your friends before your pride.
Yep.
And that's good characteristics of a leader.
And he, you know, was praised for it by Ransom later on.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
it was like, good job there, Boimler.
Yeah, Boimler got the attaboy, and, you know, the red shirt dude just got...
he got thrown under the bus.
He got, like, night shift for 5 seconds or whatever at the...
That was horrible. Like, his face.
Yes.
He looked so defeated.
He really did.
And I was like, well, see? That's what happens when you're a brown nose.
Yep. Yep. Now, see, that reminded me of Nick Locarno. That was a Nick Locarno moment.
Wow. Yeah.
Speaking of whom, anyway, I need to see him on Lower Decks.
Right
there. Nick Locarno would be fantastic to show up on Lower Decks. Have him pretend to be Tom Paris and try to sign that plate.
Oh my gosh. And of course, you know who's going to be front and center for that.
Exactly. And then Tom Paris shows up. I got this whole thing in my head. Like, it'll be wonderful. Mike, call me. Call me. Mike,
you. Man. Writing episodes.
Exactly.
One at a time.
I'm going to be the guy who's tweeting Lower Decks Season 8 one day.
Oh, my goodness. What a check mark. Watch it. Put it into the universe. We're out.
Wait, that's how McMahon got the job. He made up Next Gen Season 8 on Twitter.
Look at that.
Yeah. So
see, never give up on your dreams, folks.
I'll rip him off.
I can't. Keep pushing for your dreams. So yeah, back to the Packlet plot.
Yes.
We meet quite a few interesting folks. We have the Packlet Queen.
Yeah.
King. I don't know. My helmet's not big enough.
My helmet's not big enough to judge that.
And then we've got Packlet Emperor. And they apparently are having a civil war in the middle of all of this.
And the Packlet Rebels? I don't understand how the Packlets get out of bed in the morning, let alone have a rebellion, an empress, a king.
I don't even know how they organize that whole rebellion. Like, yeah. It's just, okay, got it. They've got their own way of communicating and doing things. That's fine.
Yeah.
So eventually, you know, Captain Janeway is able to figure out, the Cerritos and everybody figure out the plan for the Packlets had for this so-called spy. Right. They wanted to smuggle a Veruvian bomb. I was like, okay, we got the information we need. Now get us the hell off. Please, please, please get us off. I thought these were some awesome episodes.
Yeah. We missed out on a guest appearance by a classic Star Trek villain.
Hilarious at the end.
They prank called Armus.
That was so funny.
Oh, man.
I was like, you know what? The Easter eggs just keep coming. And funny. And, like, making it funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the, bringing out the humor in Star Trek is, like, great. You know? It's like you see this ugly blob of a being. Yeah, we're gonna throw him at you.
But it's so funny. It's so cool because, again, they're making Star Trek funny, but they're not making fun of Star Trek. You know? It's such a good show. It's exactly what Star Trek needed. And again, I think it's what fandom needed because it tends to take all of this way too seriously.
Seriousness. Exactly. Yeah. Like we've already got enough seriousness. We've got Discovery. We've got Picard. We have Strange New Worlds coming out.
Yeah.
So it's good. Nice little balance now that we've got Lower Decks and soon to be Prodigy,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, it looks like it's geared towards the younger audience, but you know, I'm still gonna watch it because I love cartoons, whatever.
Yeah, but I think it's gonna be aimed towards a younger audience in the same way, you know, Avatar The Last Airbender was geared towards
but a now long Avatar long. Got serious,
and that's what I'm saying. I think Prodigy's gonna go into as well. Yeah. Prodigy's
blood,
gonna do this.
Blood bending and all that. That was serious stuff. Okay. Genocide, mass genocide. Are you kidding?
That's it's a shame. COVID for as awful as it has been, you know, gave us the opportunity to, I think, do some things and see some things that we hadn't done and seen before.
Oh, absolutely. And definitely revisit some things that we have been putting on the back burner for a long time.
Yeah.
And definitely a lot of pick-me-ups, you know.
Yeah.
Is one of them.
I had never seen Avatar before because I always because the thing is it was a Nickelodeon show and I was like, I'm not watching a Nickelodeon show by myself. Please. And I couldn't convince my kids to want to do it to watch it. And then my she was 14 at that point. She's like, I want to watch Avatar The Last Airbender. I'm like, finally.
I
sat down and we watched it. I'm like, I should have watched this before. Yeah, this was fantastic.
I remember, slight detour from Star Trek Lower Decks. I was home during winter break. I think it was either freshman or sophomore year of college. And I was flipping through the TV. There's nothing on. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, let me go to the cartoon channels. You know, they seem to give me stuff that I need. And then all of a sudden, it had just started, just aired. It was The Boy in the Iceberg. And I was like, oh, let me take a look. And I was like, oh, I like this. Oh, this is cute. And then I think they played the first two episodes, and they were like, coming next week. And I was like, well, sign me up. I'm here.
I could not have handled waiting week to week on that.
It was painful.
Yeah, I believe it.
But then, you know, it definitely, the you know, the finale with the four-parter live on television. I'll never forget my friend Gretchen. Shout out to Gretchen. Was at my house because she always used to come over during our long breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we watched all four parts together. We were screaming in the living room. My dad, God rest him, he was into it too because, you know, he loved cartoons. And nice. We were like, oh, my God. Oh my goodness, look at Aang. Ah, and we were just losing it. And I even to this day, the end of Avatar makes me cry. Like, I don't know if it's the music or just I know how much they've been through.
Yeah.
Made it. It makes me cry.
Yeah. It's my God. When it's, you know, taking it back to Star Trek, I'm sure I've mentioned it on the show a million times, but I spent the last year rewatching all of it like everything in chronological order of when it was supposed to take place in the canon, and I just finished Voyager. So I've watched everything. And when they got home, it hit
it, like, finally, I don't think it
would have hit like that if I hadn't just watched everything, because that felt like all of Star Trek, you know, coming home at the end. And yeah, I mean, I'll admit it. Like, I teared up when they came out of that Borg sphere, and you know, the whole fleet's there waiting for them. Like, it's like, yeah,
standing ovation.
Like, oh, I did. I stood up in my living room and I'm watching it. It was exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, you definitely feel that because you know you've connected to all the characters. You've and to the world. You've entrenched yourself so long.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, they've made it. They've made it, you know.
And I have all the post Voyager, the post Endgame novels now. So I'm gonna be reading.
Oh my God. You're gonna all be a mess.
All I know is Tom Paris becomes first officer of Voyager sometime soon.
Look at him.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited.
All right, Tommy. All right. Look at you.
So yeah.
All right. Well, this was good. I really enjoyed these two episodes. I really enjoy this show a lot. I hope others join in and watch and definitely, you know, tweet with us and let us know anything we missed.
Yeah.
I know there was definitely a few things, but we wanted to kind of consolidate as much as possible. Which episode did you enjoy more?
Between the two, I'm going to say the first one, the embarrassment of Dopplers.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Although both of them were absolutely hysterical, but I think, you know, episode 5 definitely was just like over the edge Starfleet nonsense. And I love
it.
You know?
Yeah. The only thing that episode missed for me, like I said, was I wish we'd gotten some Shelby dialogue because I didn't realize how much I missed her. And her, what species was her first officer?
I don't even know. I have to look. Well, I know Memory Beta or someone got it somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure it's out there. But
somebody's got it.
Oh, while we're talking about that, it's funny. Like the week before that, I had tweeted about how I wanted to see more, like, Star Trek play with scale more often.
Okay.
And in this episode, we had that captain and his first officer, and one of them was super tiny.
Super tiny on the shoulder.
Yes.
Hysterical.
Yes.
Hilarious.
I'm like, a week later, there it is. Lower Decks is...
They heard you. They said, just wait, Travis, just wait.
Exactly.
It's coming.
Exactly. If only Mike followed me on Twitter.
Black Alert Podcast, Mike. We're here. Listen to us. Share, retweet, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So, any shout outs this week?
Not a great deal, but you know, this week we were talking about the idea of a Star Trek Hall of Fame on Twitter. Just kind of throwing that idea around, and there were some folks who wanted to get engaged with that right away. So shout out to all of them. And if you want to talk about if anybody wants to talk about that more, you know, let me know, because
especially the late night chat, because apparently Dre and y'all be up at the, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
I don't sleep.
I wake up and notifications are just like endless. And I'm like, what the heck are people talking about? All these different polls. And I'm like, well, I'm glad somebody's keeping us going, but I'm like, don't you sleep? What is happening here? I was like, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I need to.
Well,
Dre
has an excuse because she's
on a different time zone.
She's on a different time zone and a different schedule. I, however, really need to sleep.
Man, you better get yours a snoozing.
I know. There's just too much to do.
You're busy. You're doing 3D models and then remodeling your spot, your geek spot.
I
need to do that.
It's fun. It's you gotta harness that ADHD. You know, you can't just let it be a hindrance. You gotta harness it.
Also, you're having fun. Why not?
I really am.
I mean, I don't really have any specific shout outs, but shout out to fall 2021.
Yeah.
I am so tired of summer. I am not a summer person. I do not like extreme heat. Actually, I don't like the extremes, period. Mm-hmm. So Shout out to Autumn 2021. Shout out to the Virgos and the Libras and the Scorpios and on. Are coming up.
One of those.
We have a lot of birthdays coming up. Yeah. We had a past birthday, our own Shaniqua, and we probably have quite a few coming up. Who do you have? Your daughter?
My older daughter. I'm going to have a 16-year-old.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And we just bought a car last week that she's going to be allowed to drive.
Oh.
Not for her, but that she'll be allowed to drive. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Growing fast.
If I start sleeping, you'll understand why.
Yeah. Got it. And I think that's it. Please look out for us on Twitter and all the social media platforms, Black Alert Podcast, for more reviews and shenanigans. We have a lot coming up. We took a bit of a break, but we definitely do have some more coming at you. Please stay tuned and just keep trekking.
Just keep trekking, y'all.